I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 313. Okay, jumping right in. The first one is Demonic Activity Part 1. Hi, ladies. Second time writing in for you guys. However, this time I'm going to keep my identity private and we'll be using different names for the story. It's long and slightly all over the place, so I'll do my best to not get too crazy with this one. My childhood best friend, who I will call Karen, and I immediately connected in the sixth grade over our love for all things paranormal. She always spoke about how she has always been able to see ghosts. At the time, I could only feel them and had family members who had many stories. Fast forward 2008, when we were in high school, we had a hypnotist named Tom DeLuca come to our high school. Naturally, we had to go, and of course, Karen felt the need to be picked as one of the people to get hypnotized. She gets picked along with maybe 10 other students to go on the stage. Just about every single person who got hypnotized had me absolutely dying of laughter. However, when Karen was doing her thing, hers had a very different vibe from the rest. She went up to the microphone and started angrily speaking in some strange-sounding language that almost sounded like she was speaking in tongues. Hers was the only one that wasn't silly and lighthearted. After the show was over, we met up to walk home together, and she was visibly distraught and said she had a horrible headache and even peed herself a little while on stage. She would be so pissed if she knew how I mentioned that. No pun intended. Shortly after that is when things started to get very strange. We would walk to school together every morning, and all of a sudden, she started showing up with these horrific stories about what was happening to her in the middle of the night. A few examples of what she was experiencing was hearing scratches on her walls, hearing a ton of different voices talking in the room as if they were observing and talking about her. Her flip phone's alarm would go off at 3 a.m. Another time, she was in the bathroom around 3 a.m., and while sitting on the toilet, the sink turned on. Another night, she was going to the bathroom, and when she opened the door, she saw a large, dark shadow figure that growled and then rushed towards her. She even felt her hair blow in the wind as it whooshed through the door. Pens and pencils would get knocked off her desk and would be dancing around on the floor until she said, "Stop!" and it would. Then it started smelling like dead animals in her room. It was for sure demonic. I pretty much avoided going over to her house during this time, as my sister, who was in college, was experiencing something somewhat similar, and I was truly terrified that something would start happening to me. There was one day we did have to stop at her house while we were walking home so she could change before we went to a coaching event. When we got to her front door, it was locked, so we had to go through her backyard. The front of the gate, there was a decapitated rabbit, a very clean cut, not something done by an animal, that had a ring of fur around it. We lived in an upscale area that wasn't known for crime or anything strange like that. What the fuck? We were so disturbed and went around the other side. We got inside of the house, through the back door, and she went upstairs. I just stood in her kitchen dining area, and the vibes in there were unlike anything I had ever experienced in that house. Mind you, I spent a ton of time here growing up and never felt anything strange. It felt like I had thousands of eyes on me, and I just stood there, paralyzed in fear. That was the last time I set foot in her house for quite some time. Then the summer came around, and she had nothing to report in regards to the paranormal activity in the house. We went off to college, and things really started to seem normal again. Fast forward to our winter break, and we were both home visiting from school. She invited me over to smoke some devil's lettuce as her parents were gone for the evening. Since things seemed to be back to normal, I said fuck it and went over. I got to her house, and instead of going to her room, we went to her brother's room to smoke. As we were just chilling and catching up, one of the blinds just shot down out of nowhere without anyone touching anything. Definitely odd and set a weird tone. We tried to brush it off and casually just walked over to her room. She sat on her bed and quickly asked me if I threw something at her head. At that point, I started to panic, and we just went downstairs. As we went down the stairs, one of the ornaments on her Christmas tree just fully stretched and then bounced back as if something grabbed it and let it go. At that point, I said, "I'm out of here. Are you coming?" She oddly said no and stayed. This was the first time I was actively seeing things move on their own. I was so terrified, to say the least. This story is really only the beginning here. A lot unfolded after this, but I will save it for another day as I know you guys are worried about running out of stories. Side note, I included the part about the hypnotist because I truly believe that it opened a door for something more sinister to start messing with her. She always disagreed with me about that one. Part two will make its way to your inbox in the near future. Keep it creepy, ladies.
Okay, real quick, I just have to say this, that you know how the glass shattered on how you say a lot of things, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, arguing.
Yeah.
She doesn't hit the gym.
Yeah, and you say cherry really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that other thing that I always say? You say?
Creep real.
Yeah, you say creep, but not in, no, it's mansion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And ancient. Anyway.
Ancient, yeah.
But you said growled.
Yeah, I felt sad. I wanted to say growled, but I was trying to not sound so Southern. And I was like, wow, that was a really weird way to say that. Okay, continue.
Yeah, but it is how you say owl.
Yes.
But like growled.
Growled, yeah.
And I was like.
Okay, well, that was me trying to not sound country.
Oh, my God. But I was like, huh, it is owl in there. And that's how she says owl. Anyway. So then I was like, listen to the story. But I was like, she said that weird.
I felt myself say it weird because I was trying to not sound country, but I wanted to say growl. I growled. Yeah. How do you say it?
Growled.
Well, why do you say so many syllables?
Because there are.
You say growled?
Yes. He growled at the dog.
You just said growled. Did you? I don't know. Wow. You know what? Cue the rainbow. I say some weird shit.
I thought you said keep it rainbow. I was like, okay.
But back to the demon.
Yeah.
Also, I just am making this into a movie because I feel like in like that age, this probably isn't what happened to your friend at all. But I feel like she was probably like y'all were a little more of like the outcast into paranormal stuff. And then like she got up there and everybody's was funny. And then hers was like so serious and everybody's like, whoa. And then they're like, oh my God, of course hers had to be different.
Uh-huh.
Was that it? Or was that just the movie version?
I don't know.
But does that not sound like a movie version?
Yeah, it really does. And also if y'all hear Carrie's mic going, it's because she can't sit fucking still.
There's a lot happening in front of me right now. We have Donna's computer here because ours that like we do the podcast on is a fucking piece of shit. It's ancient. It doesn't work. Literally, we're like into this story. I've reconfigured, LOL, like I actually know what I'm doing, hers so that our stuff will work on it. And the other one still hadn't even turned on because I was going to compare and contrast, if you will. Just kidding.
Oh, Lord.
The settings to make sure it was the same. So if the sound's off, blame me. But there's like two computers in front of me. There's papers. There's like so many cords. I'm like trying to make sure that it's recording right because it's kind of behind me. And I am just.
Yeah. And I can't see it. Normally I could say like, oh, it's messed up or whatever, but I can't see it.
Yeah. So there's just my ADHD is ADHDing and there's a lot happening.
There was a lot happening in that story for part one.
Right.
I'm like, there's a part two?
Because, this is what I think is going to happen. I think that the friend is so deep in it that she doesn't even realize she's so deep in it.
Mm-hmm.
And shit's about to get real, real.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of said that. But I think the friend's like, how she was like, no, I don't. I'm fine. I'll stay here. It's like, no, bitch, run.
Right. Like, you in danger, girl. Meanwhile, she might be the danger.
True. What's going to happen?
I don't know, but I'm ready for a part two.
Well, before we get into the next story, we have to talk about Select Quote. Okay, y'all have heard me say this, but this is really creepy. Over 600 murders in the U.S. each year are connected to life insurance. And y'all know we always use Murderpedia for our stories, and by ours, I mean mine. And that's 4% of the entries on Murderpedia.
I know you've told us that statistic before, but it's wild. Like, we all love a good true crime story, you know? But when it's that insurance payout motivation, it's just like, wow, that could be anyone then.
And sometimes it's for like absurd amounts too, you know, but the amounts are relative to, you know, people's lives. And that's where Select Quote comes in clutch too, because it helps you find insurance that is pertinent to you. Because me, I don't need a $1 million life insurance policy. I don't have that much stuff, right? But life insurance is clearly valuable enough to kill for. So maybe we need to be taking this a little more seriously.
Absolutely. And Select's quote has been around for nearly 40 years. That's how old Carrie is right now. And they've helped over 2 million people find more than $700 billion in coverage.
Like I said already, it's not a one-size-fits-all policy because we do all have different needs in our lives. SelectQuote actually helps you find the right policy for your needs and your budget.
And y'all, it's not some hours-long ordeal because if you know anything about me and Carrie, nothing's ever easy. But SelectQuote insurance is actually as easy as it says it is. A licensed SelectQuote insurance agent can get you set up in as little as 15 minutes.
And some policies are less than a dollar a day. That's cheaper than like some gas station coffee, not even the fancy frou-frou coffee.
Exactly. And if you're in good health, you know, you don't have the ailments that we have, you might even be able to get same day coverage without a medical exam. And that's huge.
So if you've been putting this off, now's the time. Head to selectquote.com/creep to get the peace of mind you deserve.
That's selectquote.com/creep.
Protect your family, your future, and honestly, just check it off the to-do list already.
SelectQuote. They shop, you save. Okay, the next one. Hey all, previous Sinister Cider here, if that's a word, coming back with another one just for you. I'm just a girl trying to contribute to lessen the worry of not having to run out of stories. Might be a long one, so grab some snacks and relax. 12 years ago in a town near Houston, Texas, or if you can say it like Carrie does, Texas. You know, I tried. My little brother and his girlfriend are expecting their firstborn son. This particular night, they were at my parents' house visiting them. When it finally came time to go, the girlfriend sees something around the car, small and fast. So she's thinking it's my son hiding by the car as she's about to call for my son. She bends over to peek and sees nothing. My brother, being the gentleman he is, picks her up and opens the car door for his girlfriend, who's confused and certain that she saw someone. As soon as he opens the door, a white rush of cold runs by them, laughing. They both stated that an eerie feeling of chills went all over their body. My brother quickly and calmly gets her in the car as he rushes to get in his side. Now seated in the car, my brother tells her on three, "Tell me what you saw." 1, 2, 3. And they both said, "A boy." He starts the car, reverses his ass out of there so fast, and heads to her home to drop her off. At this time, they were young, fresh out of high school kids, so he had to go back home to the ghost. Once he dropped her off, he was looking for his phone, realizing that he left it at home with mom and dad. His girlfriend let him call our parents through her phone, and the conversation went something like this. "Mom, I need you to wait for me by the door when I get home. I'm going to honk, and I need you out there." "Okay. What happened, Daddy? Are you okay?" "No. I saw a ghost when I left the house, outside by the car. Be ready for me, please." "Okay, I'm waiting already. Bye." Story goes, when they hung up, my mom, in true Texas Catholic form, grabs her holy water, blesses salt, and starts to go to the door. My dad asks her, "What are you doing?" She proceeds to tell him what's going on and that she's now going to go outside and start blessing the yard and the corners of the house. Now, in true Texas man form, he starts to get his gun from his bedside. My mom looks at my dad and says, "What are you doing?" He said, "In case the ghost dad comes out." Y'all, I just about died hearing this. My brother gets home and my parents are outside spiritually and physically sweeping the yard for ghost family. He is shaking with adrenaline as my mom makes him drink sugar water as he explains it was a little colonial dressed boy who rushed by him laughing. We didn't look into the history, but I don't doubt that there's spirits that make their presence known. Thanks for reading. Can't wait to hear on the show. Next time I'll send in how I received some ashes from another country and how my father-in-law's dream ghost watches my son from beyond. Love y'all and stay creepy, Gabby.
Well, at least they saw the same thing. So there wasn't one being like, "Did you see that?" And the other one's like, "No."
Right.
I'm just cracking up at your brother being like, "Mom,
can you wait for me outside?
Yeah, put your mama in the line of danger.
I know. Well, you know what? Because mamas are tough fucking people, okay?
Yes. Why do you think we aren't one?
True that.
Because, well, I feel like I would go out there. You would be like, hell no.
Depends on who it was. If it was for my mama, absolutely.
Yeah.
If it was for my dog, absolutely. If it was for Carrie, absolutely not. I'd say, how about when you turn that fucking hall light off on me, huh?
Payback's a bitch. Okay, the next one, cabin creeps. Hey, y'all, it's Allie from Iowa again. This is my third time writing in. Today, I want to talk about something that happened to my mother when she was a child. I waited to write this one in because I wanted her permission first. Now that I have it, I'll dive right in. My mom's had spirits follow her since she can remember, so seeing something didn't faze her much, but this one sticks with her forever. We have a family cabin that's been passed down for generations in Wisconsin on Lake Mason. We go there every July at the same time. When my mom was 9 years old, she was best friends with the neighbor boy named Donnie, who was the same age. She couldn't wait to see him every July. Well, this particular year, there was a lot of rain and storms happening, so my mom, Denise, and Donnie couldn't go on their wooden boat. It was actually Donnie's boat and had a cute little red flag on the top. They were told no every day, and it was now the last day of her vacation and a big storm was about to come in. Donnie knocked on her cabin window at dusk and said, "Let's sneak out. Tonight's our last chance to go. We'll be super careful and we won't go far." My mom was really unsure, but she was also super rebellious, so she agreed. They snuck out together in their little two-person boat and set sail. The further they got out, the bigger the waves got from how hard the wind was blowing. They agreed to head back. Just as they started heading back, the little boat tipped. They flipped the boat, and Donnie pushed my mom back in the boat. Just as she was about to pull him up, a huge wave crashed into him and pulled him under the water, and he didn't come back up. She jumped in and looked, but she said the water was pitch black. After doing everything she could, she ran back and got help. Her parents were furious. The police came and they couldn't do anything until the storm passed, but they never found Donnie. They ended up draining the lake after a week and he was nowhere to be found. They held a funeral for him eventually. My mom still carries that guilt today. Well, a year has passed and my mom is now 10 and it's time to go to the cabin again. She's dreading it, but she goes. Just like last time, storms are rolling in, but her parents left her alone at the cabin for a few hours. Apparently, that was the norm for people back then. She's sitting in the cabin, looking out the window at the storm, and all the lights go out. The only light is coming from the lightning outside. She starts hearing a really weird noise outside, like something was dragging. And as she looks out towards the dock, she sees a boy dragging a little wooden boat with a red flag at the top down the wooden dock. And then it goes dark again. And when the next flash of lightning hits, she sees his boat in the water with him standing at the end of the dock, looking straight at her and waving with a smile on his face. She immediately ran out of the cabin with no shoes or coat in the pitch black. And when she gets to the dock and the lightning hits again, he's gone. And so is his boat. She said she sat on the dock and bawled her eyes out for a whole hour saying, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry." But she wasn't scared at all. And after that, she couldn't wait to go to the cabin every July and hoped it rained so she could see her old friend Donnie even just for a second. My mom is 61 now, and we still go every July, and she says she still sees signs of him every time it rains. The neighbors still have his boat sitting out with their other boats, and I look at it sometimes and get chills. My mom has a lot of other stories I'll write in eventually. For anyone who cares, it's November 16th, 2025. Side note. Out of all the weird stories y'all have ever read, any creeped you out or gave you nightmares? I'm just wondering. Creep it real, y'all.
That's so weird that they said November because it's in February.
No, it definitely... Wait. February. Mm-hmm. Perimenopause is killing me today, y'all. February 16th.
Okay. I was like, I wonder if they forwarded it to us again.
No, look, I have been having some serious word finding difficulties today. Like literally one of my coworkers was like, "Oh my God," because I said the same sentence, but couldn't remember the last word. And I said it like four times. I would say blah, 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 and like, just, she was like, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
It's so bad today. Anyway, that's the saddest fucking story I think I've ever heard.
Oh my gosh. For real, for real. But then it is that sweet, like, ending where she saw Donnie again and that made her want to go to the cabin.
Yes.
And that, like, helped her, you know, cope with that and everything.
Golly.
That's very sad.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot for her to have to deal with as a 9-year-old.
Oh, my God. I know. I think about my niece and nephew that are, like, those ages. And I'm like, I just can't imagine them having to deal with something so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Taking on the blame and the guilt.
Yeah. Another thing is, yes, isn't it so weird how our parents would leave us alone all the time? You mm-hmm. know, like, hey, something like a tornado might be coming. We're going to go to the coast and gamble. Y'all stay here kind of mm-hmm. thing, you know? And even just like when I think about stuff sometimes, I'm like, oh no, like I stayed by myself all the time. Like me and my brother, who's 4 years older than me, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in fucking fifth grade, you know, he's in middle school. And I'm like, yeah, no big deal. But then when I think about other people, I'm like, you shouldn't leave them alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I was babysitting in fifth grade.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, oh, no, it is.
Like, what? Like, in fifth grade, you didn't even want to stay at someone's house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, someone mm-hmm. is, like, being like, you know what? We believe in you to take care of our kids. But that's, like, how it's always been. You know yeah. what I mean?
90s was a different time, man.
Really was.
Okay, well, now that you're asking me the question, I can't remember many details of the story, but this was when we very first started Sinister Sightings, and someone wrote in anonymously about, like, them rocking their baby. Do you remember that? They were rocking their baby, and, like, there was, like, a entity there. Just, I can't even remember the stuff, because this was literally probably 5 years ago, but that is the one that I always think about.
Did they say the Lord's Prayer to...
I think they just said Jesus or something. Okay. They may have said the Lord's Prayer. They said something godly, you know?
Yeah. One story that I remember is that one of our resident witches who listened said that she had an entity that, like, visited her and would listen to us.
Girl, that was the next thing I was going to say.
And we were like, oh, that's cool. Like, cool, cool, cool. And then she's like, but he loves y'all and he's coming to visit y'all. And it was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That stuck with me.
Yeah, I don't want any visitors.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, he could be a fan. Wait, what?
Yeah, that was scary.
Also, the not deer. Y'all talking about that, I was just like, wait, what? Okay, the next one. Hi, ladies. I wanted to send in a little story about creepy kids. Well, this one is kind of sweet, but maybe kind of creepy. You decide. My daughter and firstborn kiddo was named after my grandmother who passed away when I was 7 months pregnant. I was incredibly close to my grandma, and she was very excited about her great-granddaughter. My grandmother's name was Genevieve Hannah, and I gave my daughter the name Hannah with the same spelling, no H at the end. My grandma survived the Great Depression living on a dairy farm in the Midwest and helped to raise her younger sisters after her mother died at a young age. They could not pronounce Genevieve, so everyone just lovingly referred to her as G. When my daughter was little, we were on a trip back home to my parents' house. Hannah was a little toddler and barely speaking yet. My dad was cleaning out the storage and had a large picture of my grandparents sitting out propped on the floor. I remember this picture from my grandma's living room. It was very much from the late 60s, early 70s of my grandparents, my dad, and his brothers, all before they flew the coop as adults. Hannah toddled right over, stood up, and patted my grandma's face on the picture and said, G, 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 several times. It was clear as day. And my dad, the biggest skeptic, looked over completely puzzled and then stared blankly at me. I never referred to my grandma as G. I do have a few pictures of her around the house, but not where my kiddo that young could reference in such a way. Fast forward a couple of years, I picked up Hannah from preschool, and for whatever reason, my grandma came up in conversation. I told her it was unfortunate she had never met my grandma, as she had passed away before she was born. Hannah argued, no, mommy, I have met her. She talks to me from the clouds. I've written this in before, but when Hannah was a baby, I often saw lights in her baby monitor. She would giggle and laugh in her crib long after my husband and I went to bed. It scared me so bad. Hannah is now 9 years old and has no recollection of these stories. My family and I do see my grandma and her mannerisms and her personality. My husband's father passed away years before our kids were born, and I oftentimes hope that our loved ones who have gone before us come back to sweetly visit. At least I hope that's what we've experienced. Love and hugs from Tennessee, Liz.
Grandma, thanks for visiting, but can you not make my kids stay up late and be a grouch tomorrow? Thanks.
Right?
That is really sweet, though.
It is. I mean, creepy, because that does mean that she, like, knew something that you hadn't told her.
Right. But kids always know kind of stuff like that. I don't know how. I guess they really are that they just...
They're open.
Yeah. Yeah, talking to somebody in the clouds isn't weird. Maybe they can explain, like, the ChatGPT cloud does.
They probably could. But that was definitely more sweet than scary. So oh, that absolutely. Was a good one.
Yeah, that was a really good one. The other thing about kids is that they get past a certain age and it's like it just shuts off and they don't remember anything about it.
Right. We ruin them. We close them off from their openness.
Did you know that kids after the age of like 4 lose the ability to make like thousands of sounds? And so if you teach kids little bitty how to speak other languages that have different sounds and all, they'll be able to do it.
I knew that if you teach them younger, they were able to do it better. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that was the like root cause of it.
So we ruin them for everything. Languages, supernatural. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one we got in snail mail, which I love.
Now, this one might have been sent in November because, you know, it does take us a long time. And I'm just going to look over at someone when I say that.
It was January, yes. 2nd, to be exact. So, like, almost as early January as you can get.
Okay.
Okay. Hello, ladies. I hope this letter finds you well. I've had the privilege of hearing a few of my stories read on your podcast in the years past, which I sent in anonymously and thought that was all I had. One of my New Year's resolutions is to start to do better and hopefully get my shit together. So I started making a list during Betwixtmas, between Christmas and New Year's. Is that a real thing?
I don't know, but that's genius.
Oh, God. Okay. Making a list of every instance I could think of that was paranormal or true crime related. I have about 20, depending on what I combine or send in separately. Some things on my list are a bit of a stretch for a true crime or paranormal story, but worth the telling because we all need a little humor in our lives, right? Speaking of humor, I was the one who posted photos in the Facebook group just before midnight about my husband applying my makeup after he had a few drinks. That was fun and funny. I'm grateful that others got a laugh out of it. Sincerely, thank you so much for the opportunity to belong. It's currently January 2nd, 2025, and I'm listening to the last episode before I am completely caught up. I'm hoping I can afford all the good in Patreon soon. New year, new budget. Because I take both of you with me on errands, to the gym, etc. Because I can't life in public well these days without noise-canceling earbuds. And your voices are just so familiar and welcome. Thank you for providing that service and providing me with what I need to get through all the things that pile up on my plate. Just last night, I spent 6 hours filling out an assessment for one of my children who has special needs. I'll write in several stories about that later as time goes on. Pinky promise. My logical approach to get my stories written to you smoothly is to do it chronologically as possible. Let's hope it's a good choice and works out for me. As the crimey paranormal is mixed in this story, so is the emotional elements. It's sad and involves death, but does have a surprise twist. Maybe we will all get lucky and this story will be the last one on the episode. Without further delay, I submit the following story for you containing true crime and paranormal elements that were 77 years in the making. Sidebar, did that sound like the beginning of
Are You Afraid, Afraid of the Dark?
Yes. Okay.
I was like,
let's go back, all the way back to 1930. My grandpa was born to his mother and father in the frontier state of Wyoming. He was the product of second marriages of both his father and his mother, who both also had previously been widowed. His next oldest half-sibling was 20 years older than he was, quite the age gap. People in the family all lived to a healthy old age, as evidenced by the amateur genealogy work I did to build as extensive of a family tree as my ADHD hyperfocus would allow over the course of a few months' time. Grandpa's family had a legacy of roaming the wild western United States, not for the sake of striking it rich on gold or land ownership, but for the peaceable purpose of spreading the good news of their church's beliefs and building up a treasured collection of souls. I don't remember all the details, so I'm sorry about that part. But somehow, my grandpa's grandfather, Preacher Samuel, narrowly escaped potential death. Picture it. It's fall of 1881, and the boomtown of Tombstone, Arizona, is a haven in the desert for travelers alike. Grandfather Samuel planned to go into town that evening, resupply and rest, and then be on their way the next morning to the next tiny town on their planned route. This isn't what happened, though, because Samuel had a premonition to avoid the settlement and keep moving on. I've learned from Liz Sowers at Ghosts in the Burbs podcast to take this opportunity to write this next part, text in brackets. For the young people who listen to this episode, I'd like to take a moment to remind us all that news traveled much slower back then without the modern conveniences like email, cell phones that we have now. Sometime later, two and two was put together, and it turns out that my grandpa may not have ever existed had Samuel ignored that bad feeling and gone into town that October. Turns out that was the date of the now famous shootout at the OK Corral, the incident inspiring many movies and books associated with the Wild West. Later on, during more travels to churches in his circuit, Samuel was traveling alone for more preaching in Wyoming. Because another listener has already mentioned this specifically in their Sinister Sighting story, I will tell you that my family has a rich history on Crazy Woman Creek and the canyon of the same name. While not on his land, the preacher was thrown from his horse when he tripped after catching his leg in a prairie dog hole. This resulted in a fractured pelvis, loads of pain, and being abandoned by the horse. It took several days, but somehow Preacher Samuel was able to scramble up a fence panel to stand up assisted and befriend a wild horse. After a ton of patience, trial and error, he was able to actually ride the wild horse back home and get assistance, potentially saving his life. Do you think his affiliation and service to his religious beliefs made him one of God's favorites, walking in the light, as Donna would say? Fast forward to more modern times. Samuel had children, and then his children had children. My grandfather followed the family's legacy and also became an ordained minister. He met my grandmother while they were both in college, and he also had to go away for some time during the Korean War. He survived as a medic, helping others, and returned back to the U.S. to marry Grandma and start a family of his own. Once he was ordained, he was sent up north to the vast land of Canada to serve in remote churches there. My father was born in Newfoundland, y'all. Their family spent time in Canada until my dad was about 5 years old. He tells me a funny story about how he had never known cold and cool weather. So when they relocated to Illinois-Missouri border, he started to sweat while playing outside one day and started crying, thinking he was going to die because he was convinced he was melting. Dad had four brothers and a baby sister who was adopted. They were run like the military for the economy and were expected to contribute. They built buildings and homes with their own hands. Eventually, their church service took them to California. Grandpa started up a janitorial business. He and Grandma were able to secure housing for themselves by managing an apartment complex, and they saved up until they could afford a home to flip. This was their primary source of income for a long time. I remember visiting, and it was always a construction zone. But looking back on it, I marvel at Grandpa's ingenuity and Grandma's graciousness through it all. My youngest uncle worked alongside Grandpa as all the other kids married and moved away to start their own families. Grandpa and Grandma moved away too, back to Grandpa's beloved Crazy Woman Creek, where he literally built their home there from the ground up with his own hands. I got to visit them there once when I was in high school and I had my driver's permit. The long, desolate roads of the western states were quite a thing to behold and experience, and I hope I never forget that trip and that time we spent together. In 2003, Grandpa and Grandma cordially invited the whole family to celebrate their big 50th wedding anniversary at a cabin they had rented on a lake. Because I was pregnant with my first child, they selfishly gave me and my now ex, another separate story, which I will write about, I promise, the biggest bedroom and bed. That was such a kind gesture and so much like grandpa and grandma to always be thinking of others. We did get this beautiful photo of everyone, which I'm so glad for, as many of those pictured have now passed. It was an unassuming day 2 years later when I got a panicked call from my mother calling me to tell me that grandpa is in the hospital and she didn't even know why just yet. I lived in another state due to ex's military career, so I braced for any updates and potential harried travel plans. I got an update later that day that grandpa had been in California with my uncle. They were working at a home that my uncle was flipping and doing work on the roof. Mid-sentence, my uncle realized that something was wrong. Grandpa didn't respond to him like he should have, and that's when he saw Grandpa had fallen off the peak of the two-story roof and landed on the hard ground below. Grandpa was in the ICU being monitored and assessed, and the doctors weren't even sure this was something they could treat. Several days later, with the family assembled around Grandma, life support was discontinued per my grandfather's wishes. It was so sad to see him one last time, but knowing that I wasn't ever as close to him as I knew I could have been, and I hadn't recently talked to him either, but could have, I learned so much about Grandpa after he passed away from so many people that looked up to him, respected his sacrifices and service to his church, and to people whose lives were improved by his actions. It's also comforting to know that Grandpa did die doing what he absolutely loved, serving others through hard labor and just doing the work. Two more years passed. One day in 2007, I was at my apartment just doing life, and I got the worst feeling in my core. I felt empty and alone and sad. I found myself thinking about Grandpa and missing him more than I ever thought I could. It was all-consuming. I was also not in a good place in my marriage, and I was beginning to recognize that I was being abused by my then-husband. It was scary thinking my child was witnessing it and could be potentially hurt or damaged by it all. What would Grandpa do? What kind of support or help would he offer? The mail usually came in the afternoons at this address, so when my daughter was finally down for a nap, I went out to collect what was probably mostly bills or junk mail. To my surprise and delight, I see a hand-addressed envelope. It was from Grandma, who had moved back to Georgia to be near her sisters now that she was alone. I opened her envelope, and the card inside was written in two colors of ink, two different styles of handwriting. I found this note Grandpa wrote you right after the 50-year anniversary party. I thought you would still be glad to get it after all this time. As you can see by the envelope, it was right after you married and we didn't have your address. Grandpa wrote to me, "Thanks for all you added to our party. Love you guys and you're going to make great parents. May God bless you and lead you every day." How lucky am I to have received a letter from anyone from beyond the grave, but especially from my grandpa and especially that day when I needed it the most. If Grandpa didn't walk in the light, I'm starting to think I must. I still tear up when I find that card again among my most treasured possessions. It's with the other cards I have from my other grandparents and great-grandparents. Just a scrap of paper and some ink have so much more meaning the more time passes. This is your call to action, dear listeners. If you've been meaning to reach out to someone, please do it today. It doesn't have to be a grand gesture, just a kind and sincere word in an envelope, just because, can have a meaningful impact on someone's life. Okay, moving on. My own little tangent time is this. Donna was commenting once in an episode about how she says human being instead of human being. There is a national coffee chain called Human Bean, and they have several locations in my town. The closest one to y'all looks like it's in Jackson, Tennessee. Already checked. Anyway, here's a photo of the one I frequent because it's near another business I frequent and just had to point out how weird and funny it is that this coffee place is the same business park as the state's cremation society. I didn't even know that was a thing, but here I am learning new facts every day. Until next time, creep it real. Love you both. Janine. Insert Will Smith with the Wild Wild West.
Right? And at first I thought you meant that, come to find out, my grandpa didn't exist. And I was like,
wait, I what? Did too. I was like... Got it.
Yeah, but I was just
Grandpa
like,
wouldn't have existed had he gone. Yes. I was like, wait, your grandpa didn't. Okay. Yeah. Isn't it funny how you start like predicting a sentence when you haven't even heard this? Yes, literally always. I cracked up at the text in brackets.
Oh my God. And such a good use of them too.
Yeah, it was.
And you're right. Like the smallest gesture can mean the world to someone. It's especially if they do save it or anything. Mm-hmm. And if they're like me and when they clean out their room, they find it and they get sidetracked and it's all the things.
And then if you're like Donna, you purge it anyway.
You know, you're not wrong.
You have the most stuff for someone who purges.
I know. It's because I rebuy shit.
Touche.
You know, it's like, well, I need to purge. Cool. Well, now I do have space and continue to buy shit. And you're reaping all the benefits.
I sure am. Donna purges some shirts. And I'm like, I'll take that and I'll take that and I'll take that. And then I wear it and she goes,
it looks so good on you. It looks so much better on you than it does on me. Is that one of my shirts? Like,
literally, she always goes, is that my shirt? Is that my shirt? I'm like, sure is.
I wore this white shirt that I had gotten two of from Tord. Because, y'all, I mean, again, I will buy shit, but it'll be such a good deal. So, like, randomly, I, like, bought it. Hadn't got that order yet, but then I'm like, oh, this is such a good deal. Bought it again. So I had two. They're white. So I was like, this checks out because I'm going to fuck one of them up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tried to give one to Carrie and she was like, no, I don't want it. I wear it to dinner because it's not dressy, but it's like dressier than like just a casual thing. And so I had worn it to work and she was like, give me that shirt. I love that shirt. I was like, I tried to.
Did you throw away the other one?
No,
you gave it away?
Yeah.
Damn it, I want it now.
I did the thing.
Yeah, donated it.
Yeah, that's the word. I will say, plus size panties are so fucking expensive, but let me tell you, when you find out that you got, like, basically crotchless panties because they're just so old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the dryer did that. It did that, but it reminded me of when my mom would be like, Donna, you need to throw those panties away. And I'm like, but they're so comfortable. But she would do the laundry, and one time she just, like, looked at me and ripped them. I was like, oh, my God, you Hulk Hogan my panties. She was like, now you got to get new ones.
I'm telling you, that's Colby with his fucking athletic shorts. Because a dryer eats the string, and so he walks around, and his booty's hanging out. And I'm like, get new shorts. And he gets new shorts, and he still fucking wears the no string ones. And I'm like, I'm going to throw them away. And he's like, no, don't throw away my shorts.
They're so comfy.
But they're not.
They are.
Well, I don't know how we made your whole story about us, Janine, but thank you for sending them in. Thank you for organizing your brain and keep them coming, girl.
Oh, and you know what? Maybe I don't say human being weird. You know, it's a whole franchise.
You do say it weird because they are literally saying bean as in a coffee bean. Didn't catch that, did you?
No, I did, but I was just trying to make me correct, you know.
You're not.
Okay, the last one. Hey, ladies, Susan G. from Ohio here, writing February 17th, 2025. Not like Carrie said, November in the other one. Just kidding.
Did you see me turn and look? I was like, how'd she know?
Oh, God. Okay. Just a quick one that may or may not be a real story. I was just listening to you all and something struck a memory. Problem is, I can't remember if it's a joke / urban legend / actual story. If it's too stupid to make the cut, I get it. In any case, here goes. As I recall, a friend's mom was a nurse at a rather large mental health hospital in Birmingham and told this story. This is back in the 90s. She had a long-term patient that was, for the most part, ambulatory with extreme schizoid personality disorder, high fixation on drawing and nonverbal. One day, while in the section's day room, suddenly and out of character, he started saying, "You better get down. You're going to get in trouble. You better get down. You're going to be in trouble." Over and over and over. He went into spells with this over the course of a couple of weeks, only in the day room, never with any great intensity, and only in that one area of the room. Then, as suddenly as it started, it stopped. He carried on after that as before. After about 6 months, the air conditioning system was having problems, and maintenance found a man's body in the venting over the day room. He was supposedly a patient that had gone missing from the outpatient section months before. All the time they think that the first patient was hearing the guy up there and was giving him a warning. I tried to validate this on the internet, but of course couldn't, maybe due to it being so old. I did find many other examples of people dying in this way. One was near where I went to college and caught my attention. Clinton Township, Michigan man, stuck in vent, died of accidental asphyxiation in November 2023. This guy was found after people reporting a bad smell. They think he got stuck in the vent while hiding in the roofing system from the police due to active warrants. Evidently, this is not as rare as one would hope. There were plenty of examples, some more comical than others. True confession, the only reason I remember this at all is that me and my tacky-ass husband had a running joke from this anytime we hear funny noises from above. Hope that was at least entertaining. Best regards. Until next time, S.
I mean, if it is just an urban legend story, I can absolutely see that happening in real life because people are just assumed that he's having like a delusion and he's talking to, you know, whatever. And no, he's really talking to someone. And it would make sense if it was an outpatient patient that went missing. They think he left and then just, you know, never showed up somewhere.
Right.
Versus like an inpatient patient going missing. That would be all the red flags.
Right.
I don't know.
It sounds legit, but those are the best ones because it is something that's conceivable.
Yeah.
And I would be with you and your tacky ass husband making the jokes because I do that now with like stuff from my parents. Like, you know, like something that's happened that's actually bad, but it's like, wait, is that so-and-so, you know?
Well, it's how we cope. But that's like the frogging nightmare come to life.
Yes.
And literally death.
Yes. Damn, that was poetic. This is side note, but like just thinking about like how you said we cope. I did have a guy over and he was like, hey, is that your mom? But he was on the side that Tiffany normally sits on. And there's a picture of me, Tiffany, and Susan, my sister. And, you know, she looks like my mom, though he's never seen a picture of my mom. So I was like, huh? He said, is that your mom up there? And I'm like, I can see where my mom is, you know, and like, no. I'm like, what do you mean? And he said, do you not know what you put your mom in? And I'm like, I do. He said, well, there's an urn up there. And I was like, she's not in an urn. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at her and she's in a fucking moonshine jug that she chose. I did not choose that for her. And it was an Egyptian like vase that my dad had gotten. And he was like, oh, wait, there's another one up there. Like, and I was like, oh, that. And he was like, that was kind of awkward. Like, do you not know what your mom is in? And I told Tiffany that over dinner. And she said, did you tell him where your dad is? And I was like, in the closet. Still in his biodegradable urn. But
yeah,
he died in January. Like, we couldn't
plant him.
And then,
now it's hot 3 years later.
You know, things happen. And Tiffany said, well, he did love his room, though.
He sure did. And where's your sister?
At my sister's.
On that morbid note.
Okay. I know you said morbid note.
Yes, it was
but
bad.
It was really weird, but then that reminded me of Marmaduke.
Okay. I can see where you, I see like where you just, went.
Yeah. So like, I knew what you said, but in my head, I was like, Marmaduke.
I did say it very weirdly because, you know, I'm just.
I mean, it's February, but for her, it's November. Like, nothing at all. I could see her saying December, November, September, January, February. Those, you could get mixed up together.
Yeah.
Not February and November.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And I know you did mention the Patreon, but it's a month-by-month thing. You know, you can't download things. So, just a little thought.
Yeah. I mean, if you can only support us for a month, you have a month to binge and download, like Carrie said.
If you do want to join the Patreon, go to patreon.com/theapcpodcast. Otherwise, remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.